And good morning. Welcome to a most beautiful day outside. As cold as it is right now, I don't expect anybody has been outside just to look at the sky, but man, it is incredible. You've got to go out there. Somebody's already trying to call. The number here is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes. I think I have a kidney infection. I haven't been to the doctor or anything, but I urinate, and then it feels like I have to just keep on going to the bathroom over and over and over.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, let's try to help get you through this as quickly as possible. Yeah. Now, I know that today is Christmas Eve, but there's still stores that are open. Have you ever heard of a product called Azo that's spelled A-Z-O?
No.
Okay, they do have it available at almost any store that you can go to. I mean, there's Walgreens, CVS, Drug Emporium, Walmart, Target. But if you take what I'm going to call a double dose of Azo, and the reason why I say a double dose is I really think I've seen that work better. I know that not necessarily more is better, but in this situation, I think it's going to benefit you greatly.
Okay.
So, that's number one. Number two, you've got to stay away from any and all forms of sugar. And I realize that's so hard this time of year. But do you think you could do it?
I can.
You know what I really want you to get when you're at the store also? If you go to a store that has health products and herbal teas, there is a tea called rose hips. And if you know anything about rose bushes, after the flower blooms and it falls away, there's this little bitty seed bulb underneath it, and that's called the rose hips. What they do is they grind them up, and when you pour hot water over them, you're getting the medicinal benefits of rose hips, and that is really good for the kidneys and the bladder. So you can literally sip on rose hips tea. Now, if you can't find the Azo, you could just get some cranberry juice, and you could really start drinking and sipping it throughout the day. Every human being likes to taste cranberry juice, but sometimes you do things because they're in your best interest, right?
Exactly. I could sure do it.
You're pretty motivated, aren't you?
I am.
So if you do those things, and maybe the next thing that I think is really essential, you probably already understand this, but 95% of all infections in the urinary tract in a woman, they come from one type of an organism called E. coli. And when that stuff builds up, your body's going to try to wash it and flush it out, which is most likely what's going on right now. But every time that you go to the bathroom to pass your water or pass your urine, you really want to bear down with a little bit of extra force to help push that stuff out. And so it's just you're attempting to make a stronger stream so you can flush out and wash out all the toxic bacteria.
Okay.
I would recommend that you put a small pinch of good old-fashioned sea salt in everything that you drink, because the minerals from the salt, they do help rid the kidneys of infection. And I'll be more than happy to keep going, but I think if you stick with cranberries, and that's the thing that the product Azo, A-Z-O, contains, it's got cranberries in it.
Okay.
So I think you're in good shape if you do that.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone.
Anytime.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for your
call.
Merry
Christmas.
Uh-huh. Oh, God bless and Merry Christmas to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I've got an article that I want to read to you. It won't take me long to get through it, but it's quite impressive. So let me have a go at this right here, and you tell me if this is something that you're interested in. And you know what? Your health is completely your choice. All the choices that you make are going to be reflected in your physical health. And sometimes we make bad choices. And you know what? There's no human being that doesn't make bad choices. I wish that were not the case. But then again, that's not even reality, is it? Because there's a thing called suffering, and there's trials and tribulations. And life happens. So sometimes we have circumstances come up where a person kind of gets off track, and then they get stuck in a rut. So they go from walking a path that really produces radiant health, and before you know it, because of the circumstances or life, they kind of get off track. So that's what I want you to do, is I want you to think of this as like a gentle encouragement to do what you can to help yourself, because you are your best advocate. And there is nothing wrong with you desiring to be the one that's in charge, and you're going to take the best care of yourself possible. And plus, you win. Just think what happens. If you feel great, that is your ticket to going, to blessing other people, to helping your fellow man, to lifting up someone that's fallen down, to staying free from a lifetime of drugs and surgeries. Yeah. So everybody wants health. But there's things that you have to do in order to have the health. And sometimes it's just creating the right circumstances for the body to heal and to repair itself. Now, I'm going to do my best to make this the simplest conversation possible about fish oil, because I realize as soon as I go down this road, I could turn into what does it do for the heart? How about the blood? What does fish oil do for the liver and the kidneys and the bones? And, you know, in our minds, we kind of break down all these different body parts and systems of the body, like the nervous system and the digestive system. But this one, it caught my attention. You know, one of the favorite Christmas songs of all time is, what is it, All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth? Well, if you like that one, or if that's relevant to you, or you've lost teeth, you want to take a special attention to this one. The article title at the top is, it says, Take Fish Oil to Stop Your Teeth from Falling Out. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, I've got perfect teeth. Well, let's keep it that way. Okay, here goes. The more fatty acids that elderly people consume, the more of their own teeth they'll retain. This was discovered by dentists from the Niigata University in Japan. Fatty fish protect teeth from the processes of aging. Could you imagine, though, if you lived on an island nation such as Japan? Depending on where you live, as in close to the coasts, oh my. Could you imagine all the fish that you would have access to in the seafood? I asked a gentleman yesterday, I won't tell you his name is Forrest, but anyway, I asked him, I said, what are your favorite fish that you like? And I think he said he liked tuna. And I asked him, I said, do you mean yellowfin? And I can't remember what he said now. He just said tuna, which, I mean, tuna is amazing. And whatever you get from a can, it is not the same thing as catching it and then eating it on the spot. Could you imagine pulling up to a small island and getting out your propane gas grill and lighting it up? And after you clean the tuna, you put the tuna fillets into the skillet. And you probably have some coconut oil with you, because that's what you can carry with you on your boat. And you just happen to have your seasoning with you, and you have salt and pepper. Could you imagine what a meal would be that would taste so divine? I've had yellow tuna before where it comes in off the boat. It is just to die for. And the thing of it is, you feel so good afterwards. And I think he also said that he liked red snapper, and I thought to myself, did he say red snapper? Well, I vote also. And a lot of times when you eat seafood that comes from the deep ocean, you're getting all the minerals that your body needs, which that's a deep topic. But anyway, let me finish this study right here. Now, what they did was they started off with mice and rats. Okay, so they said that if you give fish oil to mice and rats, it improves their dental health. Okay. It says in their gums and in their jawbone, fish oil reduces the production of inflammatory factors such as prostaglandin E2, which I'm sure you want to know that. Prostaglandin F2A. I know you want to know that one. Leukotriene B4 and platelet activating factor. As a result, the teeth of the mice and the rats were much less likely to fall out or become loose. And I think if they become loose enough, then they do fall out. And so the researchers were curious whether or not fish oil would have the same protective effect on a real live human being. And so what they did was they found 55 Japanese that were exactly the age of 74. All right, so these weren't spring chickens. All right, here's what the study shows. The researchers used a questionnaire to work out the quantities of two types of fats that you find from fish that come from the ocean. One was called DHA, and the other one was called EPA. So that's docosahexaenoic acid and then eicosapentaenoic acid. I really just said that to impress you. It doesn't spell them out, but it's called DHA and EPA. But these are very unique essential fats that are found in the muscle tissue of ocean fish. On the basis of these results of how much they consumed each day, they divided the old people into three groups. I'm so sorry they called 74-year-old people old. I had nothing to do with that. I'm just reading it. So I'm not saying you're old. You know what? You can choose to be young at 74. If you want to invest in yourself and take good care of your body, then maybe your body can serve you much, much, much better, and your mind and your heart, than the average 74-year-old that doesn't take care of themselves. And so if they break them into three groups, they're called tertiles, not turtles. The first tertile was the 33.3% of the subjects with the lowest level of DHA and EPA. And how do you get a low level? Well, if you don't eat much fish, you're going to have a low level. Or another way of saying it is, what if you, instead of eating fish from the ocean, which I think that's every woman and man's fantasy, is to fish when you're age 74 and then catch your breakfast, lunch, and supper. But if you're not fishing from the ocean and you're not eating fish from the ocean, well, what are you eating? Most likely processed foods, correct? And these would be foods that just don't have the nutrient density that the human body needs. And so the third tertile consisted of the 33.3% with the highest intake. So that's our comparison right there. Those that had the lowest intake of fish and those that had the highest. The researchers then assessed the subjects' teeth, and they observed that people who consumed the most fish oil, the fish oil, of course you got to get the fish to get the oil, right? They had the highest number of their own teeth. So today, if you're out in public and you see people without teeth, there's a pretty good indication they don't really eat fish that much. I'm not saying you should walk up to them and point that out. It probably is not going to go real well. Okay. Let me just finish with here's the end of the study. I can't show you the graphs on here, but to me the graphs are pretty impressive. What they do is they just plot the amount of DHA and EPA that comes from fish oil, and they're plotting against the number of teeth that a person presently has. And it's just real simple. If you don't have much fish oil in your blood, you're not going to have many teeth. Those that have the most fish oil, well, what they have is they absolutely have the most teeth. That means you're able to keep and retain. It says the researchers also monitored their elderly subjects for 5 years. And so they followed them from age 74, I'm guessing until 79. And they found it was primarily the DHA that protected their teeth. The subjects with the lowest DHA intake were 150% more likely to lose their teeth or have other periodontal events like infections than in the other subjects. It did break it down, though. It said those that ate the most fish, here's what they figured out. They took an average of 947 milligrams of DHA and then 635 milligrams of EPA daily, which you could literally build a topic on people with mental illness and depression, anxiety, neuroses, psychoses, psychotic events, and fish oil. I don't know if you know this or not, but besides saving your teeth, do you know that fish oil is just like amazing brain food? It really is. It's incredible. So you got your choices, and you're thinking, well, if I don't live near the coast and I can't go catch red snapper, yellowfin tuna, what's the other one? I know it's called either ling or sometimes lemonfish, but it's called cobia. Is that it? That's one that's like super, super delicious. I've always enjoyed eating that. So if you're not going to do that, if you're not going to eat fish, then what's the solution? Well, it's taking fish oil. So if all you want for Christmas is your two front teeth, well, I suggest that you start eating fish or fish oil. Anyway, you get it. You get it, don't you? Okay. So, all right. Here's the next article I came across. And you realize, the way I'm wording this, I'm trying to give you the choice. And, you know, you're listening. But if I were watching you right now as I'm talking, I'd be trying to ascertain, well, do they get what I'm saying? Are they engaged? Do they seem to be interested in this topic? Yes, I've spoke to many groups of people before, and sometimes they're just not into it, and sometimes they are. And it kind of depends on the crowd. Who knows? They may have a bigger fish to fry. I mean, those things do happen. But overall, you've got to be able to maintain. You've got to be able to have endurance here. That means moving in a very good direction that's going to benefit you, the others around you, and your family. And so taking good care of your health, it's so critical. Okay. Here's the next one right here. This one I liked also. I think this one came out of Taiwan. Just because it comes from Taiwan doesn't mean it's not hugely important. And so let me have a go at this one also. Let me see. I know you like to know where I got this from. Where does it say? Anyway, I always try to copy off where I can find the articles where they were written. But let me just read this to you, and you tell me if it sounds agreeable and logical. And what you got to do is, as I tell you this information, just wrap your mind around it. I know, it's a no-brainer. The title of the article is, If You Eat Healthier, You Increase Your Muscle Strength and You Live Longer. Or that's the direct observation as I read it. And they go on to write in the abstract, If you would like to add a few more years to your stay in this world, and then improve your diet, and then start strength training. Both lifestyle factors reduce your risk of dying, and when combined, their longevity effect is even stronger. Wouldn't it be called a synergistic effect, meaning when you combine diet with strength training or improvements in both, synergistically, you're much better off. Now, I'm going to get to the punchline momentarily, but I mean, this is huge. There is no drug or surgery or medical procedure that can even come close to doing what these two things do for you. So think of it that way. They had a group of doctors. Of course, they're called gerontologists because they study older people. And of course, I hope this is not offensive because they're looking at people 65 years old and above. So they say that gerontologists from the Kaohsiung Veterans General Hospital in Taiwan, they use the mini nutritional assessment short form to determine how healthy the diet was of 333 males over the age of 65. You just had to be 65 or over to be in the study. But the kicker was, all of them lived in a nursing home. Okay, you get that? I know you don't really walk around thinking, I'd like to go visit all the 65-year-old people in the nursing home. And the truth of it is, there's a lot of people below the age of 65 in a nursing home. Okay? According to the researchers, the diet of about half of the study participants was unsatisfactory. And so, I found the study right here, but it's just too, I can't read Taiwanese, sorry. Okay, here's what the title of the actual article is: The Synergistic Effect of Low Hand Grip Strength. That means you grip a hand dynamometer and you measure in pounds how much you can squeeze hard, or in kilograms, just the metric system. So they're looking at low hand grip strength and malnutrition in a four-year all-cause mortality in older males. They call it a prospective longitudinal cohort study. Okay, that's probably kind of wordy. That just means they did their best to be very accurate in delivering the raw data or data to you. At the same time, the researchers measured the amount of strength which the study participants could squeeze a dynamometer with their hands. And this is going to be a pretty sad deal right here. Where's my calculator? Here's Randy's calculator. I'm using his, since he's not using it right now. They said 55% of the men in the nursing home, they squeeze less than 26 kilograms per square inch. These people in this study were labeled as those that have a really weak grip. So 26 times 2.2 rats. I didn't do it right. 26 times 2.2, that's 57 pounds. Okay, I'm just converting over to the standard system, which is what we see here in East Texas. That means the majority of all the men in the nursing home, they could not squeeze out even 57 pounds. The researchers followed all the men, all these 333 men for 4 years, and they kept track of which one of them died. Okay, here's the results. When the researchers had brushed off as much as possible the effect of other factors, such as maybe the men suffering from depression and any type of chronic disease like heart disease maybe or cancer, and they're trying to work these into the statistics or the numbers, they could see clearly that a very poor diet, that's basically malnutrition, and a relatively low hand grip strength, that greatly increased the risk of death. And so I can't really show you the chart, but the chart is incredible. Basically what it shows is they're just looking at the cumulative survival rate on the left, and the bottom one is years of survival. That means how long do you live after they start the study? And they're just demonstrating that if you have a good, rock-solid, strong grip and you have a good diet, well, you're going to outlive everybody else. It's really just as simple as that. And so they have four categories. I'm only choosing to talk about the men that have a good diet and they have a good grip. This is compared to those that make choices to eat the most poor, nutritionally dense foods. They're eating junk food, and they're also very weak. Well, it's two extremes there. When the researchers looked at the quality of the diet and the muscle strength, at the same time, they saw that the effects of these two factors reinforce each other. Now, here's a punchline right here. This is really impressive. I don't know if you really can digest it, but just think about it. At least you can say you heard it from me. In the four-year period that the researchers looked at the study participants with both little muscle strength and a poor diet, they had a factor of 3.4 more times the risk of death. I mean, do you understand what that means? That is huge. That's like 340% more death when you eat junk and when you're weak. This is compared to those that had a lot of muscular strength and a healthy diet. Well, how do you get muscular strength and a healthy diet? Well, see, this just goes to illustrate a point, and I know it's so obvious everybody understands it. You already know it without me saying it. What you eat, okay, whether it's good or bad, is going to make a huge difference. What you do to keep your body strong, well, that's huge. And those are two choices you can make. So just ask yourself a question. Am I doing everything I can to keep my body strong? I was watching a YouTube video this week, and the gentleman said, you need to think in different terms when it comes to aging and exercise. You need exercise snacks. And I thought, okay, what does he mean by exercise snacks? But you'll get it. He says, you can't just wrap your mind around that you've got to spend an hour driving to the gym and from the gym and spending an hour there three times a week, because most likely that's going to fall by the wayside. But what if you're at home and you had like a hand gripping device that would exercise your grip strength? Well, you could do that throughout the day. And let's just say that you could whip out 20 repetitions or 20 hard squeezes on both hands to where you're going, oh my goodness, I can kind of feel it burning in my muscles. Well, that's what you want. Mm-hmm. It really is. And so if you could do that, what if you could do that several times a day? Or you could do several squats or several lunges. Because, folks, this is a huge, huge deal. Okay? If you want to join me on the radio, feel free to call. You may have a question. I like the questions that are related to natural healing. And obviously, I have my own unique bias. And I've learned that I need to be biased toward remedies and behaviors and activities that promote health. Just like if you hear the latest rage is men taking testosterone replacement therapy, well, yeah, you can do it and you can get some results, but it's all, you got to pay the price. What if your blood becomes so thick that you have a stroke or you have a heart attack? Well, I don't like the plan there. I vote that we do something to help increase your strength and improve you without that. So if you'd like to call me on the radio and ask me a question, I know everybody's busy with Christmas Eve, and I probably should have taken the day off, but for some reason I thought it's a good plan to come and do a radio show. Here we go. Let's go to the phones. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you today?
I am fantastic. I love your ministry. And I wish I could send every single person a note to you.
Well, you're so kind. Thank you very much.
You deserve it. Sir, this is about my sister. She's 62. Very, very healthy lifestyle. Really into, eating well and everything. Anyway, she's getting horribly severe headaches.
Oh, no.
To the point, yeah, and they make her nauseous. And she and I both have scoliosis, and that this is a recent thing.
Does she have scoliosis is it quite prominent, or is it just very slight?
It's slight. It's an S-curve like mine.
Okay. I still would rather you be without it, and you would too.
Me too. Oh, my, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I don't know what to tell her.
Well, is she undergoing a lot of mental and emotional stress right now?
She has a lot of stress, yes.
If you asked her, what is your best guess as to why you're having these horrible headaches, what do you think she'd say?
She'd say, I've prayed about it and prayed about it. And she does what she can about problems, like financial and all that stuff. But she is really committed to God. And
I like the sound of that.
Yes.
I like her already.
Oh, you will love her in heaven. You will love her, and she'll love you. She's very committed to helping other people.
Like a beautiful human being.
She is. She is. She's just precious. Gift from God to me.
See, if there were more people like her, the world would definitely be a better place, wouldn't it?
Oh, I'm telling you. But I hate for her to suffer so much. And...
Well, does she ever feel like she wants to throw up when she has these headaches?
Yes.
Does she actually throw up?
No, it's close.
Okay.
And she does, one thing that might help you with this mm-hmm. is she likes coffee. When she drinks one cup of coffee, the headache improves slightly.
Okay. Okay, I'm gonna roll out a concept for you. And okay. It's not going to be super popular, but it's reality. Even if a person does everything they can to take exceptionally good care of themselves, sometimes they may have like little blind spots they're just not aware of.
Uh-huh.
And so as the human body ages, it just doesn't work the same as it did when she was, say, 14 years old or 18
That's
years
true.
Old. And so you, it's like the other day, I was reading an article about people that eat a lot of animal protein. Well, that's fine. If you're 13 years old and you're 6'2" mm-hmm. and you're growing rapidly, you could probably scarf down 14 cheeseburgers a day.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're 62 years old, the kidneys don't really seem to do as well with the high amount of animal protein that, say, like a 13-year-old would be able to tolerate.
Well, she's a vegetarian.
Oh, she is? Okay, well, that even changes a little bit more, because what I would say is, I would look to her liver and gallbladder, because she's so nauseous.
Mm-hmm.
And so if coffee gives her even just a little bit of relief,
mm-hmm.
then I might suggest to you, I'm just going to give you some ideas, and I don't know if any of them are true, but I'm going to suggest
that... Oh, they are, if it's coming from you.
Well, it's just an idea, but what happens is you get all this horrible back pressure up in your head and your brain
mm-hmm.
When the blood flow through the liver is a bit sluggish. And so let's just kind of help. Let's just walk through this. Okay,
okay.
Number one. If I were to try something different with her to see if we could tap into what's causing these severe headaches, I'd say number one, why don't we try this right here?
Mm-hmm.
The very first thing that I want her to do the moment she wakes up in the morning is just aim to drink about a quart of water. I know that sounds like an incredible amount of water, and she's going, are you kidding me? I'll be running the bathroom. But you'll have to trust me on this.
I do trust you.
Well, and if you want to add something to it, we could either squeeze lime juice or lemon juice. Both of them work pretty well. I think lemons work a little bit better. But if she took like an entire lemon and just tried to ream it out and get every last drop of lemon juice from it, if she could do that and maybe put about a pinch of, I'm going to say maybe like an eighth to a quarter of a teaspoon of like sea salt in it,
mm-hmm.
stir it up and add about a half a teaspoon of baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
If I could get her to drink this every single morning, we're going to see if we start helping to open the liver up and the gallbladder where they can start to kind of flush all the toxins out.
Okay.
The other technique, which I'm not saying it's super popular, but I'm telling you it works.
Okay.
If the liver has this backlog of toxic waste and debris, or if it's sluggish, a coffee retention enema is one of the techniques that's been used for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would just mean basically a cup or two of coffee. Obviously, you let it cool down to body temperature.
Sure.
And you'd probably go into the bathroom to, apply the technique.
Sure.
But you're trying...
That'd be strained without the coffee grounds itself.
Either way is fine.
Okay.
Some people actually say they do better with the coffee grounds, which I'm not trying to tell you what to do.
Sure.
But either way is perfectly fine. I have no argument. But you let it cool down to, say, 99 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get in a bathtub of water and you just slowly release the coffee into the lower part of the colon.
Mm-hmm.
And all you're doing is just trying to squeeze and hold it there for about 10 to, say, 12 minutes.
Okay.
And then if you can, you know, there's a art to doing this, I guess, but you're trying to get from the bathtub to the potty so you can let it all out.
Yeah.
But that is one of the greatest techniques of all time for helping the liver kind of open up and purge toxic waste. And so something's happening within her body. I'm just choosing to go this route here. The next thing that I would have her do is probably take a double dose of magnesium and fish oil. And then the last thing I'm going to tell her is, and I know I'm going to have to spell this, in American herbal medicine, the herb is called bloodroot. But have you heard of bloodroot before?
Yes.
Well, years ago, I was watching a video where a guy said, hey, look, here's bloodroot right here. And I think he took his pocket knife and just lightly cut the stem. And guess what it looked like was coming out?
Blood.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I thought, oh, that's amazing. of course, I'm just kind of teasing a little bit about it, because almost all the things that are good for the body, they almost mimic, or they look just like, for example, you say, well, what am I going to do to help my eyes? Well, carrots, because it looked like the center of the eye when you cut it sideways.
That's true. Or
crossways. But bloodroot, the homeopathic term for bloodroot is sanguinaria. Kind of like if you speak Spanish fluently, if I said, como se dice blood in español, you say sangre. So you would so sanguinaria is a homeopathic remedy for bad headaches that won't go away. And I'm telling you,
like in a capsule form, like over the counter.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a they come in these little bitty, teeny tiny round pellets. It's almost the size of a number 9 bird shot from a shotgun shell. But they're little bitty white sugar pills.
Okay.
And she would just put these under her tongue, but it's a homeopathic medicine or a homeopathic remedy. And I'm telling you, I've had, I remember one lady that I took care of years ago. I know you don't know this, but people argue with me every so often.
No.
They do. I know it's bizarre. They'll come in, they'll say, you don't know what you're doing. You can't help me. I've got a horrible headache and nobody can ever help me. And I just let them go on and just keep going and going. And I say, well, ma'am, I'm just going to wait until you're ready and then I'll help you. Because they spend all their energy telling me I can help them. But Sam,
you have to really want help, not argue with you.
Well, that's a part of it. And I realize that some of what they're doing is they're just venting their frustrations, which is fine. But there's got to come some point where you go, okay, I know you're upset. I know nobody's been able to help you, but that's not going to change the outcome. What can we do that's going to greatly benefit you? And so I might recommend sanguinaria. And the reason why I bring that up, I think I saw one woman for maybe 4 months before she was willing to try it. And after she tried it, she said, you were right. I have no more headaches.
Yay.
And I've been having headaches every day. And so did I gloat over that? No. It wouldn't
you're
do a bit.
Prideful.
Well, I may be a little bit internally. No, I'm just, but I'm not trying to be prideful, but I'm thinking, ma'am, why didn't you listen to me on day one and just try it?
I know.
And
well,
so
that's the thing. You get to the source of the problem.
Yeah.
Not because pills, you know, they have side effects. The medications have side effects. And
boy, don't you know that's true.
Yeah, and I tell people this, and I tell everybody I know about you.
Well, you're very sweet.
Well, you've earned that.
Well, we're trying to work together as a team to help everybody that wants to be helped, just like you said a while ago.
Yes, they have to want to be helped. And, you know, God, to me, God has given us everything we need.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. He's given us every good thing we need for life. That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
He has given us everything for a godly life that we need.
Yes. In every way, I told a guy, he's older than me, and I told him about you, and he said, well, people want pills because they work faster. I said, but the pills...
Well, he's got a point, but yeah, you're right. And so you can say, you can either pay me now, or you can pay me later, like the Fram commercial from the 1970s.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And so what do the studies show? Yeah, you can take Tylenol, but you can also die of liver cirrhosis and liver failure, which
that's
I don't
correct.
Vote that. But the homeopathic remedy is called sanguinaria.
Yes, I wrote it down. I write everything down.
Are you pretty good are you pretty good about phonically writing out?
Yes, because I have some kind of history with you know, A&P, anatomy and physiology.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but I just can't even tell you enough. And everybody
well,
out there,
you're so sweet, and I really appreciate all the kind words you're saying. But
yes,
if you could get your sister the sanguinaria and have her take it several times a day,
she will.
And do these things. Let's just see. Now, she probably needs to stop drinking the 3 quarts of moonshine a day, because I've heard that might contribute to headaches.
No, she drinks no alcohol, doesn't use any drugs. Very, very healthy Christian lifestyle.
So she's just a beautiful human being all the way around, isn't she?
In every way,
You know, I was really just joking about the moonshine. I know she doesn't do that.
Well, maybe you knew that in your spirit, but no, she's very, very strict as far as, you know, following the Lord.
How can you go wrong by doing what God says?
I know.
You know what story I read yesterday?
What?
I think it's in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, but it's the story of Balak and then the prophet Balaam. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, where Balaam's donkey spoke.
That's exactly right. And when you read that story, I'm going, oh my goodness, this is incredible. But over and over again, Balak... he keeps trying to entice him, please curse these people.
Right.
And over again, Balaam says, I can't do it. I can't do anything unless the Lord tells me to.
And I
think to myself, if we had that same attitude today,
our nation
would be the beaming salt and light of the world.
Yes, it's really changing quickly. And, you are a very bright spot in our
well,
world.
Well, you're so kind. Thank
I'm
you so
serious.
Much. I sure want to be.
Well, I know you have other people waiting to talk with you.
Yeah, well, thank you for your phone call, and let me know how it works out with your sister. Tell it.
Be sure
and pass on that I'm going to be rooting for her.
I will. I'll tell you, and she'll
Where does she live, by the way?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Is that a small town in East Texas?
It's a crazy town. Nine murders in her within a mile of her house in the last 2 weeks.
What did you say?
Nine murders within a mile of her house in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, no. That's just horrible.
It's getting horrible, yeah. I've invited her to come here.
Well, aren't you sweet?
Well, yeah, well, maybe.
Sounds like if she came for a visit, her risk of dying would go down about 1,000,000%.
I know it.
I wonder if she could drive from her place to your place.
Well,
Or would that be way too far of a trip?
Well, not for her. She got a dog, which is welcome here. But we're talking about this because there's no future there in Vegas.
Well,
it's crazy. And
see, what you're doing is you're trying to really encourage her to make some good decisions. You're a great sister.
Well, I hope to be.
Have you thought about they sell chloroform at the hardware store? All you really have to do is pour some of that on a cotton cloth like a handkerchief. Sneak up behind her and just hold it over her face. I mean, she's going to struggle for a little bit, like, 15 seconds. But once she passes out, just load her in the car with her dog. I mean, she'll come to, hopefully, eventually.
Well,
As you're heading south.
I'm hoping that, that she'll be in a pleasant mood.
Yeah.
And see, I did it for her own good.
Well, I tell you what, it's hard to have a pleasant mood when you have horrific headaches like she does.
Oh, it's
Bless
terrible.
Her heart.
Yes, she's really tough. But
well, I wish you the very best.
And I thank you, and I bless you every single Saturday before your show goes
on. That means the world to me. Don't stop doing that. I really need God's favor and blessing.
I've been doing it for 20 years, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
God bless
you.
Thank you so much for your help.
You have totally made my day. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't she so sweet? That's amazing. Okay, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there is time for another phone call or two. It's 903-586-5257. Well, good morning, and thank you very much for your phone call.
Well, Dr. Morgan, I've been listening to you now for 2 or 3 months, and you mentioned all different kinds of minerals and vitamins and things for us, but how do we know what we really need to take if without blood work or what are some of the signs, or do you have like a list of things that we just need to take for general good health?
Well, let me try to cover that, and I'll try to make it straight and to the point. But a lot of what I do is just based on observation and lots of study, and you probably have already figured that out. But what you want is you've got to start taking the minerals that our farmland is and soil is so deficient in. So let me give you an example. If they measured the amount of available magnesium back in 1921, when they started doing soil analysis, it has just almost dropped off to nothingness. And so the average person, they just do not get enough magnesium. So I'd say this would probably build a case for really trying to supplement your diet through either a capsule or a tablet of a magnesium supplement.
How much per day? I mean, how many milligrams?
Well, it depends on what a person's going through. So let me give you an example. If somebody
I'm 82.
82?
And I'm fairly good health. I try to do natural things. So,
but do you have any trouble with bone loss?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I did my, I know I have over the years, but they did a bone density for me this month, and I haven't heard any word from it, so I guess it was okay. I don't know.
I hope that's correct. I hope that's the reason why they hadn't called you, because there's nothing to talk about, but that's amazing. But I'd say somewhere between maybe 300 and maybe 500 milligrams a day of magnesium.
Okay.
And so I like magnesium lactate. I like magnesium glycinate. And so those are easy ones that you can supplement your diet with. But what you're doing is it helps. Even the study that I was going to read on the air this morning, even though I did not do it, was just based on people that suffered from moderate depression. And what they did was they supplemented their diet with magnesium. Now, they used a form of magnesium called magnesium oxide, but the depression pretty much disappeared and went away when they took magnesium. So magnesium is a big one that most people just don't get enough of.
Okay.
And the other one would be what I'd call trace minerals. So if you haven't ever heard of either iodine or selenium or manganese, or I don't know if zinc's actually a trace mineral, but you get the gist of where I'm going with it. Mm-hmm. But those are so critical. So finding a source of trace minerals is a pretty good investment. The other one that I find...
Well, wait a minute. How do I find the source for trace minerals?
Well, in my office, I have what I call my own dispensary, where I have all these minerals and vitamins that I use. And so if a human being comes to see me, my first order of business is I'm trying to find out where is the area of weakness. And this is just the way that I oversimplify it in my mind. Mm-hmm. So there's two or three philosophies. Some people say, should I just take a multiple vitamin / multiple mineral formulation and take that? Well, yeah, that's one thing that you can do. But what I would do is, for example, if I found out that they had, let me just use this as my example. If we looked at their laboratory assessment from their doctor and we saw all the blood tests, and they were telling me all their symptoms, and then I examined them and I say, okay, the top priority is, this is what we have to run toward, is you've got a problem with your kidneys. The kidneys are underperforming. They are very weak. The kidneys have been damaged. They're not doing their job properly. And so you can start to figure out, even though you don't have to know everything about the kidneys there is to know. I mean, nobody does. I don't. But you're not going to do well if your kidneys continue to go down this downward spiral of decay and they just become decrepit and they don't work anymore. So what I like to do is I want to focus on the weakest area. And if that's the kidneys, then I start focusing on what are the benefits if we can restore the kidney function. And I think, let me give you one example. I saw a woman that's in her 60s. And her kidney function was around, I think, 42 or 48 on the GFR. And GFR stands for glomerular filtration rate, but that just means her kidneys have sustained a lot of damage, and they're not working well. And she's very concerned about her blood pressure and the quality of her blood. So we kind of used a, and, you know, she gave me permission. She said, listen, I got to get these fixed. She said, my doctor tells me I'm never going to get well, and I'm headed toward dialysis. I said, okay, well, let's just try. So she took it very seriously, and I'm saying 3 months because that was her time frame. In 3 months, the GFR had gone from like 40-something all the way up back to 90-something, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, woman, you've completely healed. Look at you. And that just means the kidneys have healed. And so my philosophy, or the way that I try to always direct every patient, is we've got to run toward what the greatest problem is. And I realize you may not be able to tell me that. So when the kidneys are weak, then I try to feed and nourish and heal the kidneys. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The same would be true if a person had lung problems, or if a person had heart problems, or if the brain was a problem. So just like those men that I read about earlier from Japan and Taiwan, they mm-hmm. did the very best when they had more ocean fish. And so the easiest way for you to get trace minerals is just making good choices when it comes to eating ocean fish. So you've got sardines, you've got red snapper, you have cod. There's one called salmon. I don't ever get tired of that stuff. I don't know if you do or not, but I like fish from the ocean. Would you be willing to go out into the Arctic Ocean today in your kayak and catch some fresh fish?
Not hardly.
Oh, I thought you were calling from the Bay of Alaska.
No.
So you get trace minerals when you eat ocean fish, because that's the greatest source of trace minerals in the universe,
okay.
The ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way of doing it. The other thing that I would recommend, if you're going to really try to become stronger and just you're 82 years old, you want to take what you've got and maintain it and keep it going in the right direction. Well, fish oil or cod liver oil is going to be really, really hard to beat. And if you were to go online and just type in, is there any research that demonstrates that cod liver oil is good for the brain or the bones or the heart? You would only have 40,000 articles on each topic at your fingertips, and they all come from the National Institutes of Health published research, and you'd say, this is incredible. So cod liver oil is going to be an amazing, important thing to do. Now, if it were me, I would, my next category from magnesium to trace minerals to fish oil, I would just tell you to do your very best to eat fruits that come from the berry family. And I'm going to include pomegranates in that. So anytime that you can include dark green leafy vegetables, I know I didn't mention that. I'm just now inserting that. That and berries like blueberries, man, that's a home run to maintain your health.
Okay.
And so if you had, if you took cod liver oil, if you took some supplemental magnesium, if you took what's called, if you ate ocean fish, all those things are going to be home runs for you, especially if you combine that with some physical exercise. Where you, and this is a hard concept for people, but if I tell a person, take this hand gripper and keep squeezing it until your hand is tired and it's aching and you've got lactic acid or lactic building up, the average American goes, I want to be comfortable. I don't want to do that. Well, how do you get the muscles to grow unless you put some stress on them? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, the other one, I get shot down on this all the time, but I'm telling you the truth on this. If you said, I love all food that God has made, I'll eat everything, anything to benefit me. Well, you already know that eating a salad would be good because green leafy vegetables usually equals long life. Blueberries and pomegranates, they're amazing. But have you ever heard of liver from a cow, like beef liver?
Yes.
Oh, no. But it's the most nutrient-dense food on the planet. So if a person just ate liver and onions once a week, they would probably be so much stronger than if they did not.
Hmm.
Maybe we'll have to give you, like, a heavy dose of psychotropic drugs in order to take it. No, I'm just joking.
No, actually, I like it. I just don't have an opportunity to. I live in a senior living community, and we have liver and onions about maybe once every 2 or 3 months, and it's always advertised because some people really love it and look forward to it, and some people really hate it.
What would you say the percentage? What's the percentage of those that love it, do you think, in your own mind?
Oh, very small.
You mean like 25% of the population?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, if you're one of those that can do it, other than that, even though you live in an assisted area, do you have your own car where you can drive?
Oh, yes.
Well, you might have to go to a drive-through of a cafeteria once a week and get your liver and onions.
Hadn't really thought about that.
The article that I read this morning before I came on the air, they were looking at what were the top foods that led to longevity. And so I know you've already heard this before, but they showed specifically that blueberries really do play an incredible role. So could you keep frozen blueberries in your freezer?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one they looked at was just green leafy vegetables. I just quickly jumped to the topic of eating a salad because I thought that might be the easiest way. But you
we are served a salad every day.
Wow, I like that. Yeah. Now, do you like spinach?
Yes.
What do you think about kale?
Oh, I've had some kale. I've had kale chips.
Okay.
I'm not crazy about it, but I ate it because I knew it was healthy.
Well, that's awesome on your part. What do you think about now? Do they ever have like cooked carrots where you put butter on them?
Yes.
And the reason I'm saying that, and I've quoted this study many times from Pennsylvania, but they went into nursing homes, and the only thing that they did was they put a pat of butter on their, say, cooked carrots or on their butter beans or black-eyed peas or spinach. And a month later, when they did a blood analysis to just draw and measure the nutrient density of the blood, they demonstrated very accurately that their nutritional status improved by 15%. Wow. And so even what we're talking about, I'm just trying to make simple comments, and I know you get them, but if you put a pat of butter on your spinach, you have just improved your health. If you do that consistently, I don't mean like once every 2 months you do that, but if you do it every day, you're improving your strength and your longevity. Now, the other food, I know I'm jumping around, please forgive me, because I'm just trying to go through my mind what I've read. But there is a vegetable called broccoli.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, there was a meta-analysis done on broccoli consumption. And I mean, I'm so sorry I don't have the numbers in front of you, because I like numbers. Because I think numbers tell a story that's very precise. I don't think the numbers lie on this stuff. But if you eat broccoli and put a little bit of butter on it, it has such amazing, consistent, health-promoting benefits. Now, are you allowed to grow broccoli in your home?
Well, I could, yeah, I guess. But we have the option of ordering broccoli every day.
Are you kidding me? That's great. Do you choose that option occasionally?
Yes, I do.
Good girl.
Yeah.
You could always just tell the chef that Dr. Morgan says to produce liver and onions once a week. I'm sure they'll do anything I suggest, right?
Well, I don't know about that, but they do listen to us when we make our suggestions. So,
would you be willing to take and drink a little bit of pomegranate juice every day?
Oh, yeah, that would be easy, except it's so expensive, but I can do it.
Oh, and you know what? I completely agree with you. I'm kind of a fan of what's called the pomegranate powder.
Oh.
Because I think then you have a different option, because studies show that you live longer and healthier if you drink green tea every day. But you could make yourself a cup of green tea and then take a spoonful of pomegranate powder, which would actually be much cheaper and easier to work with, and drink it down.
Oh, yeah, that would be easy.
And so there's even the studies show that if you eat just a little bit of dark chocolate every day, when I say dark chocolate, I'm talking about the stuff that has like 81% cacao in it, not a Hershey's Kiss.
Well, you mentioned that either last week or the week before, so I did get me some chocolate that has 91%.
Oh, my goodness, that's perfect.
Well, I went ahead and cut it into all the little squares, and I put them in the freezer so that I could just take out one square a day.
Wow.
But I also have COPD, and I had been trying to stay away from caffeine and chocolate, because chocolate has caffeine in it. So I'm doing that, but I'm wondering if the caffeine is as bad for me as I thought it was, because
I don't think so.
The benefits of, okay.
I really don't. And I mean, I know there's a point where you could overdo it totally.
Right. Uh-huh.
If I see you on the street corner saying, Red Bulls, 5 for $1, I'm selling them to earn money, I'm going to say, ma'am, you're not helping our fellow citizens with all that stuff.
Yeah, right.
But if you get it from coffee or chocolate, I'm not against that at all. But it's like anything else, everything in moderation.
Right.
And so if you have COPD, oh, man, I would really try to sell you on the idea of doing deep breathing exercises.
Well, I do, and I did get on the Internet and look up deep breathing after you mentioned it one day. And I do have an inhaler that I inhale once a day that has really helped me a lot, too.
What's in the inhaler? Is that albuterol?
Anora,
okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, I want you to be strong, and I want you to live, so just pass on the message about liver and onions on the menu every day.
Okay. All right. Now, what about copper? You have mentioned copper. Should we have a copper supplement?
Well, if you eat liver, you don't have to, because liver is absolutely the greatest source of copper in all the known universe.
Oh, okay.
So you're covered.
If I don't eat liver, I can take a little copper then.
Yes, you can. Or you might even eat pecans, because pecans are usually a pretty good source.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, we are completely out of time, but I've so much enjoyed talking to you. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate your help today. Thank you.
I hope you have a lovely day. Oh, thank you, ma'am. You too. God bless. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.